Good evening. It is good to see everyone that has come out this evening. We're thankful for your desire to come out and join with us as we study from God's Word. I've got a request to make at the beginning. As has been mentioned multiple times, the last Sunday night of the month has been made available to any of the men who would like to speak to improve in their ability or to try out their ability as in delivering lessons. And, I'm going to start appealing to the women to encourage their husband, not to preach, don't misunderstand me, but to encourage their husbands or their sons or their friends, things of that nature, because I'm not making too much headway with the men, it seems, on my own. And so if you would encourage them, I know I wouldn't be where I am now if it were not for the encouragement of my mother and my wife and her saying, yes, okay, I'll be a preacher's wife if that's what you want to do. It's a good opportunity to develop yourself. There's nothing that a congregation needs more than men who are willing and able to get up and speak and to learn to preach the gospel. I'm going to tell you, I've learned more of the Bible just through preparing lessons and trying to get an understanding of them myself. And so it's a good way to increase in your own knowledge. And I know public speaking is a frightening thing. They've often said that public speaking is the number one fear, that people would actually rather be the person in the casket than the one delivering the eulogy. You just have to remember, look at who you're speaking to. Your brothers and sisters in Christ who love you and who want to encourage you in whatever way that they can as you develop yourself as a servant of God. And so it's a great opportunity for you to increase in your service. And I don't think I've got anybody lined up for April. And I know I don't have anybody for May, June, July, August, September, October, November, or December. So there's plenty of opportunities. And so I'd appreciate if some would want to do that. It's just an opportunity for you to grow and to increase in your service. I appreciate Brother Ken for filling in for me this evening. I tried to get him to fill in for me preaching, to fill in for Brian preaching. And he wouldn't do that, and I was like, okay, well you would take singing for me. And so I appreciate him doing that, and I appreciate Brother Brian willing to do this. He felt bad leaving me in the lurch. I'm like, well, you kind of filled in for me a couple of weeks ago, so now we're almost even. I still owe you one. Let's encourage the men of this congregation to put forth an effort. You don't have to preach for an hour. Understand that. You don't have to preach for 30 minutes. I guarantee you people aren't going to be unhappy if your sermon's only 10 minutes. The important thing is that your sermon comes from God's Word, and it helps us as Christians and encourages us. It doesn't have to be some weighty topic. It can be something just simple and straightforward. That's what preaching the gospel is. The gospel is that of Jesus Christ. And so take advantage of this opportunity. I did not get too many opportunities until I was in my 20s. And I was forced the first time, and just about. And it was that encouragement that put me where I am today. And I'm thankful to Brother Larry Fain for strongly encouraging me and for the encouragement I got from my brothers and sisters in Christ after delivering the first lesson about frogs. See, my first lesson was about frogs. So, I mean, if I can talk about frogs, then there's no telling what y'all can talk about. Tonight, I want to talk about maintaining our interest. You know, we understand in every relationship that we have, whether it be our relationship with our car, our relationship with our home, maintenance is necessary. Over time, nothing lasts forever here in this earth. And so over time, we have to go and do maintenance. I read a story just not too long ago about a young couple from down in South America that his grandfather gave him a 1920s automobile. I forget the make of the automobile. Gave him a 1920s automobile for him and his wife to travel around the world. And I mean, we're thinking a lot of times, I'm not going to go on a long trip unless I've got something that's you know, still under warranty. And I know, and there they are traveling. They've traveled from Brazil all the way up into Alaska. They've taken across the ocean and they're traveling around Asia and they've been through Indonesia. And the last I read, they were in the Philippines. And you just imagine a car from the 1920s, there's a lot of maintenance that has to be done so that it continues to travel from place to place. And it just impressed me, you know, their willingness to take that and to begin that journey. And they've had three children on this in these travels, and each of them in a different country and things of that nature. But maintenance is necessary. When we look at our relationship with our spouses, maintenance is necessary. If you don't believe me, then go ahead and start seeing the divorce attorney. Because if you don't work at maintaining these things and working at it, then things won't work out. And it takes the part of both to work at maintaining these things. And the same is true with our service to God. We've got to keep ourselves maintained properly so that we can be a good servant of God. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth and said for them to examine themselves, to test themselves to see whether they were in the faith. They needed to constantly check and make sure that their service to God was at the level that it needs to be. And sometimes we find ourselves getting into just kind of going through the motions. You know, everything's going pretty good, and so we don't really work at maintaining, and we don't realize sometimes that we're beginning to drift off. When we are serving the Lord, when we look at others who are serving the Lord, we all admire someone who's got a strong faith, a great zeal in their service. The Apostle Paul is one that we can look at, and we can note that in both facets of his life, he had a strong faith and a great zeal. When he was Saul the persecutor, he went beyond all of his contemporaries. He was a Jew of Jews, and he was, as we read in Galatians 1 and verse 14, more extremely zealous for his ancestral traditions. He had a great faith in God, and he was going to do anything he could to try and make sure that people lived in the way that he thought God wanted them to live. And then we find that once he obeyed the gospel, once the truth was shown to him, and he was corrected in what he needed to correct, he had that same zeal and great faith in God, and it carried him through and pushed him to preach the gospel further than anybody else in his day. He spent the rest of his life looking toward the goal that was laid before him, to that upward call of the prize that was waiting him there in Christ Jesus. When we look at the spectrum of service amongst Christians, we see it's pretty broad. We'll see those that are like the Christians in Thessalonica that were known to be very zealous in their service to God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, there in verse 2, Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Think about that. We see that he's saying that they were very zealous, they were very firm and worked hard in their service to God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he speaks in verse 4 about how they spoke proudly about them to other congregations. They were, Paul and those with him were so impressed with the Christians there in Thessalonica, they spoke to others about the zeal and passion that they had and their perseverance in faith. We can also see that there are those that become lukewarm in their service. In Revelation 3, we read of the church there in Laodicea, and that they were neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, and the Lord was ready to spit them out of their mouth. And, well, we all know lukewarm Christians, don't we? In fact, we may have seen that lukewarm Christian in the mirror sometimes. And then we also see those that have just flat out grown cold, have gone so far as to forsake the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, then verse 10, Paul writes about Demas, who, having loved this present world, has forsaken him and has gone away. We understand the need for maintenance. We understand the need for proactive maintenance. You know, you keep a check on the oil level. My dad, when I was mowing yards as a young boy, he took me out. He said, "Look, you pay attention to the oil in that lawnmower. Don't worry about the gas. The gas will take care of itself. You pay. That's your main focus is the oil, because when you run out of gas, well, it's not going to hurt the engine. It's not going to matter. You may have to walk a good little distance to go and get some more gas, but if you don't keep a check on that oil, then that engine can burn up. It can be destroyed. And that's the thing. We need to be constantly checking ourselves so that we can be as interested in the Lord's work as we should be, so that we can be among those that are counted like the Christians there in Thessalonica that are very zealous in our service. And so this evening, I want to take just a few moments to look at how we can maintain our interest in our service to God. The first thing that we look at is the need for knowledge. As we look in Colossians chapter 1, in Colossians chapter 1, there in verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul speaks of these things to the church there in Colossae and speaks of them of how they can increase in their service and the things that are needed. In Colossians 1 and verse 9, he says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Knowledge is necessary. Knowledge is the key. Many people have no desire to study history in school. A lot of them, they go and, "Oh, this is old stuff. This is, you know, this is boring. You know, this is all in the past. Why do we need to go and do that?" I'm sorry, but you know, Anna was one of those people. Why do I need to study history? What's the point of this? I don't have this desire to study history. And as she married someone who has a good, firm love for history, and I would carry her around to different places, and just really, she began to get kind of a more hands-on approach to history, and began to get a little bit more of an understanding of history, and now she has a love for history. She enjoys reading about historical things. You know, when we look in a marriage, if you don't have a knowledge of your mate, it's not going to work. In a business relationship, if you don't have a knowledge of the person that you're working with, it's not going to work out. You've got to increase in your understanding of one another. The same is true in our service to God. Knowledge increases our interest. When we look in our own lives, we need to make sure that we have a knowledge of God's will. And the more we know about the Bible, the more we understand about God, the more we understand about what Jesus has done for us, the greater interest we're going to have, the greater zeal we're going to have in our service to Him. If you would, look in Colossians chapter 1 and go back there in verse 6. In Colossians 1 and verse 6, Paul writing, he says, "...which has come to you just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth." Look at what they understood. They understood the grace of God in truth. They understood the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this caused them to increase in their service, to constantly be bearing fruit and increasing. And it continued to do that. The more we know about God and His will, the more we learn of God's will, the more excited we'll become. Look with me, if you would, in the Psalms. Turn over to the 119th Psalm. You know, when you look throughout the Psalms, we see that with David and Moses and others who wrote many of the Psalms, we see that they had a great love for God's Word. And if you go to Psalm 119 and go down to verse 111... and look at what the psalmist has to say here in Psalm 119 and verse 111. He says, "I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart." Go on down to verse 162 of that same psalm. In Psalm 119 and verse 162, he says, "I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil." Go on down just a couple of verses to verse 164. And he says, seven times a day I praise you. And nothing, because of your righteous ordinances. I'm going to start wearing my glasses up here, I guess. And that just really hurts to have to go up and down. And I'm not 40 yet. But, look at the love that they had for God's Word. They had a knowledge and understanding of God's Word, and it caused them to become more excited. Seven times a day, I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. They were praising God because of His Word. We need to increase in our knowledge of God's Word, and obtaining this knowledge requires diligence. If you look over in Hebrews chapter 5, in Hebrews chapter 5, there in verse 12, the author of Hebrews kind of lays out a pretty harsh rebuke. He says there in Hebrews 5 and verse 12, "By this time you ought to be teachers." Through the Holy Spirit, he knew that those that he was writing to, they had had the opportunity, the time had been there, the word was available, and they should have been able to teach. But he says, "You have need to be taught again the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." They weren't interested in the work of God. They weren't increasing in their service to God because they weren't studying the Word of God. They weren't taking advantage of the time that God had given them. I've worked with numerous congregations. I've attended numerous congregations. And I'm going to tell you, I've always been amazed at those who were older than me, who had had the opportunity, the time, the Bible was there available to them, and they've not given themselves to reading and studying God's Word. They're not able to teach anyone. Here they are in their 50s, in their 60s, having been a child of God since they were in their teens and 20s. And yet they still have just the most basic understanding of God's Word. I want to talk to you who are younger. If you don't begin working right now in reading and studying God's Word, you're going to be that person in your 50s and 60s that, even though you should be able to teach, can't. And it amazes me to hear year after year the same people say, "Well, I can't teach. I don't know enough." Then a year later, I can't teach. I don't know enough. Then a year later, I can't teach. I'm not knowledgeable enough. Well, there you've had 3 years. Why haven't you increased to the point that you can teach? To increase in our service to God, we need to increase in our understanding of His will. If you look in the Psalms there again, go back to the 119th Psalm. And look there in verse 15. Psalm 119 there in verse 15. Look what the psalmist has to say. And this is why he was able to rejoice in God's Word 7 times a day. He says, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. Look at verse 16. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Going back over to verse 97. In verse 97, let's read down to verse 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged because I've observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. To maintain our interest in service to God, Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1 that we need to be filled with knowledge. But let's go back to Colossians chapter 1 and continue reading there in verse 10. He told them in verse 9 that they've not ceased to pray that they might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He says, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You see, knowledge alone is not enough. You've probably heard the phrase, knowledge is power. But it's a useless power if it's not put into practice. Participation is key to increase your interest level. When you look in the sports field, you know, there's a reason why some people are a lot more interested in sports than I am. I didn't play any organized sports as a child. We played backyard football and tennis and things of that nature, but no organized sports, and so I can take it or leave it. I don't really care. But others who have participated in sports and have really gone after it, they have a keen interest in sports. It amazes me the interest that people have in this March Madness business. That from everybody that I know, it seems, has filled out some kind of a bracket all the way up to the President of the United States. You know, have filled out a bracket and who they think is going to make it. I'm like, I didn't know there were that many basketball teams in the U.S. I still don't care. But they have a keen interest because they're participating in these things. They're increasing in their efforts. Whether it be a hobby, you know, one way to increase the love that you can have with your spouse is to show a concern for their hobbies and to learn about their hobbies and not ridicule the things that they do. That's what a lot of us do sometimes. Well, that's just stupid. Maybe your spouse's hobby is watching movies or things of that nature and you just ridicule all the movies that they watch. Well, that's just destroying your marriage. But putting forth a little bit of effort, you might find that some of these things can be enjoyable. So we need to increase in our participation. Participation in God's work increases our interest. You know, the more effort we put into the work of the local church, the more vested interest we have in that local church. The more we're doing, the more we want others to try to do. But I'm going to tell you that when you're the only one, it can really be a doubter. When you feel like that no one else is putting forth an effort, I've seen this in watching in some congregations where there's just one or two individuals that are putting forth a lot of effort and no one else is doing anything. And everybody's complaining about, you know, I'm just not really as... I know I should be doing more, but I'm not. And their zeal is lacking. If they would just put forth some effort and participate, they would really find themselves really gaining a greater interest in the Lord's work and interest in God and an interest in serving Him. In John chapter 17 and verse 13, Jesus said, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. James writes in James 1 in verse 25, but the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. We're not receiving because we don't ask. We're not getting because we're not doing. There's room in the kingdom of God, my brother, for the small things that you can do. We need to be a people that are doing the will, that are putting forth effort, that we're participating, whether it be in the classes, participating as teachers or as aides to the teachers, participating in the Lord's service, participating in and increasing in our participation, whatever it might be, in visiting the sick, in encouraging the weak. The more we do in the local church, the more interest we're going to have. We need to be increasing. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, there in verse 1, how blessed. And when you look at that word, the word could also be translated happy. How blessed or how happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. If you want your interest level in the Lord and in His work to increase, then increase in what you're doing. Quit sitting on the sideline. The one who's always sitting off on the end of the bench, never participating, well, he's not gonna have a high interest in the team. Reminds me of the movie, I don't know if I've never seen the whole thing from beginning to end, but Rudy, based on a true story. Sean Astin plays this little short guy who goes out and he wants to play for Notre Dame. His biggest desire is to play for Notre Dame. He wants his dad to see him walk out with the team. And so he goes as a walk-on. And as a freshman, sophomore, and junior, he's a walk-on because he's tiny. He's a little guy. And he's out there with all these giants on the football field. And finally, his senior year, but he's still been sitting on the sidelines. The only reason his interest level is still high, and the coach says it there towards the end of the movie, he says, you know, this guy over here, Rudy, has more heart than anybody else because every practice, even though he wasn't out there on the field playing, he put forth more effort than anybody else on the team. And it's an amazing scene there at the end when they're at the last play of the last game and all the seniors are like, look, we're not walking out on the field unless Rudy goes with us. Because his interest level was so high. They knew they were where they were because of him. But it's because he participated. Even though he wasn't out there on the field, he was participating behind the scenes. We need to be increasing in our participation. Again, in the book of James there in verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. You want to increase your interest, maintain your interest in the Lord's work, then you need to be doing. And as we go back to Colossians chapter 1, let's read the latter part of verse 10. As we look there in verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The last thing we want to note that helps us in maintaining our interest in the Lord's work is success. Success encourages us to keep going. You know, as a preacher, there's times where you reach a point and you wonder if you're just spinning your wheels. And then someone will call you about 2:00 in the morning and say, you know, I've been thinking about this and I want to obey the gospel. And it encourages you. Or you have somebody send you a message and say, you know, the messages that you've been giving have been a great encouragement to me and I've really been increasing in my service to God and I appreciate the things that you're doing. To see that it's having some kind of an effect encourages you. Why do you think teachers get burnt out in the school systems? Because how many kids do you know go up to their teacher at the end of the year and go, hey, thanks for all the effort you put forth this year? No, when that bell rings at 3:00 on that last day, they run out and never look back. Oftentimes we look back 20 years later and we go, I remember that teacher. She encouraged me. He helped me. Then we go back and thank them, oftentimes when it's too late. But success. And if you want to see success in the local church, I've talked about it before, I've said it many times, that this church will not grow to its full potential until every Christian is working at their full potential. And we have seen some success in this congregation. Just look at the numbers we have on the board that we've been hitting 60 regularly. And we've had a better contribution regularly. Look at how we have increased in number and I believe increased in zeal as a congregation. And it's a good thing to look at these things and to see that success. The Apostle John wrote in 3 John there in verse 3, he says, I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth. That is how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Many lose their interest in the Lord's work because they never see success. Now, we need to counter this and understand that we may never see the fruits of our labors here in this world. We may sow the seed every day of our life, all of our lives. And there's a possibility we're never going to see the fruits that come from that. But it's a very slim possibility, let me tell you that. Because Jesus, when He talked about the sower going out to sow, He said He went out and sowed seed. And the seed fell on four different types of ground. But that good ground that it fell on, He said it brought forth some 40, some 60, some 100-fold. He saw success. The more seed you sow, the Scriptures tell us, the more you're going to reap. The more work you put forth in the kingdom of God, the more effort that you do, these things are going to follow through in your life. You want to maintain your interest in the Lord's work, friend? You've reached a point and you're looking and you're going, you know, I'm just kind of blah. A good friend in high school, that was his favorite word. He'd write it everywhere, blah. And you know what? We get that way sometimes. Just blah. I'm here. That's it. Then begin increasing in your knowledge of God's Word. Begin increasing in your participation in the work of the local church and in the work that you can do for the Lord and spreading the gospel to the lost and dying of this world, of encouraging your brothers and sisters in Christ. Increase in your service. And I believe if you increase in knowledge and you increase in your service, then you're going to see success in your own life and in the lives of others. And it's going to encourage you to increase in your service all the more. And it's going to help you to maintain the interest that you need in doing God's will. God does not want complacent Christians. In fact, those two words do not belong together. There is no such thing as a complacent Christian. You're either a zealous Christian or you're a Christian that's in danger of the fires of hell. Perhaps you need to increase in your interest, increase in your service. You need to begin tonight by repenting of whatever sin it might be in your life, by repenting of the complacency in your life and beginning to increase, to study the Word of God, to show yourself to be a workman that's approved to God, rightly and accurately handling the Word of God. Perhaps you're one that needs to increase in your participation in the local church. Well, let me tell you that any and all that are working in this congregation, that are teaching classes, they welcome your help in whatever way you can help. Whatever way we can to increase, we need to be doing that so that we can maintain our interest. We can grow in our interest in the Lord's work. And we'll grow as a local congregation. We encourage you to make your life right in whatever way, as we stand and as we sing.